Romans chapter 5.
We're going to read verses 12 to 14. 12 to 14. I'll read verse 12. You read verse 13 with me. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Let's pray together. Father, it's a blessing to be in church with your people. Please speak to our hearts this morning and help us as your children. Father, to love you and to walk with you. Lord, we can't learn anything without your help. So please teach us, strengthen us for your honor and glory. And Lord, we just ask this in your precious seat there. Humanism, as we get started, keep your Bible open there to Romans 5. I want to show you a specific word there. But humanism is so ingrained in our culture that it's difficult to see. You say, what's humanism? It's the deifying of self. It's the religion of the public school system. God is no longer allowed. You can praise Satan. You can praise any god except Jehovah Creator God. You can talk about any religion you want in a good way, but you may not talk about Christianity. Humanism is what many refer to not just as the religion of the public schools, it's the religion of our society. It's programmed in Hollywood. It's programmed in the media. It's programmed. Everything is about self. And it's so ingrained that it's hard to see. It's so camouflaged in flesh and justification. And then when you add to that my wicked flesh and my rebellion, it makes for a horrible, shallow spirituality. If I could see my sin clearly for what it is and how God sees it, there's a couple of things that would happen. I'd be more thankful for what Jesus did for me when he died for my sin. I would trust myself less and I would trust the Lord more. I wouldn't tolerate and justify sin so much in my own life if I could just see it clearly the way God sees it. I would hunger and thirst for righteousness more, and I'd want to be, if I could, more clearly. The name of the sermon this morning is, it's called Clearly Seeing My Sin Through God's Eyes. When you look at Romans 5, Romans 5 is called by some people one of the most difficult passages in the Bible. I don't think so. You got to think when you read it, but it is more blunt than it is difficult. And people don't like it. People don't like the book of 1 John because it's matter-of-factly. You either love God or you don't. It's not like I'm halfway there or three-quarter. And there's parts of the Bible that are easier. I think when somebody says, oh, this is difficult, I think they don't enjoy the bluntness. This Romans 5, the last part of it, brings us pretty low. And it shows us our need for God. That's how come somebody said, well, how come when we come to church, if you go to some churches, you hear how wonderful you are. Well, if you're that good, how come you need God? But the more I see myself in light of the Bible, the more I see and praise God for his mercy and grace that he would have anything to do with somebody like me, right? So somebody said, well, I want more positive messages. I don't mind positive and attaboy and you can do it and praise the Lord. But sometimes we just need to look at the name of the message this morning is clearly seeing sin, clearly seeing my sin. Look at Romans 5. Look at verse 12. I want you to notice the word sin. All right. Watch this. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Look down at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You don't hear about sin a whole lot. As a matter of fact, if you go to look up when you study your Bible, it'd help if you had a good old dictionary before 1945. You say, what's the big deal? You'll notice they changed definitions of God, sin, heaven. After 1945, the dictionaries changed. So I like going to an old bookstore, get you a good, I always look at the date. If it's before 1945, you can see the dictionary I use when I read my Bible. They've changed the definition of God. They have obviously dumbed everything. They've changed the definition of sin. And so if you're going to look up the words, I always say, use an old dictionary, but you don't hear a lot about sin anymore. So instead of defining what the Bible says about sin, people imagine and invent their own definition, and you end up with this. Well, what's sin to you is sin to you, and what's sin to me is sin to me. So you just tell me what you don't like, and I won't do that when I'm around you, and I'll tell you what I don't like, and you don't do that when you're around me. And you see the humanism? I'm God. I'm the one that should not be offended. So don't do what offends me. That is a modern society definition of sin. We should allow this morning God's word to tell us what God considers sin to be. Think about it. Sin kills everything that shows up on this earth. It's much more dangerous than I think it is. And the world's so blind and it's so backwards. They'll say cigarettes are bad for your health or vaping is bad for your health. And then they go on a campaign against cigarettes. I'm glad they do. Took them long enough to figure it out. But everybody noticed in the past 10 years, you know what I mean? When I was growing up, they used to have advertisements about cigarettes. Now, I'm glad. I don't want anybody pushed to do that. It's just amazing. If a weed killer is bad for you, then people say stay away from it. Roundup, you know. If a vehicle is dangerous or defective, it's recalled. But the one thing that is guaranteed to kill everybody is sin. Guaranteed. Not if, nothing. It's guaranteed. But yet, if you name it or warn against it, you're considered judgmental, narrow-minded, and old-fashioned. But it kills everything it touches. Why aren't people afraid of what absolutely will kill them and send them to hell? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4 and verse 20, both two times say, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Over and over again in the Bible. If death scares you, then sin should really scare you more. You'll notice sin kills you in a long, drawn-out, painful death. Very rarely does sin quickly kill you. That's why somebody said, well, you know, I smoke. Do you notice how the devil got him? With peer pressure to begin it. They call cigarette smoking one of the slowest forms of suicide known to mankind. And what an awful death. Seeing the people sucking on oxygen, you know, and in the wheelchair. What a horror. Yeah, what a lie of the devil. Amen. That's one result. Sin brings a long, drawn-out death process. You know, as much as we see sin kill people and destroy lives, there doesn't seem to be much of a campaign against it. The Surgeon General should put a label on everything that God warns us against. Warning, this practice will cause death. That'd go over big, wouldn't it? Poster boards like that on the side of the road cause people to have wrecks. So what does God say sin is? There's several verses in the Bible. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 5, back near Revelation. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 17. 1 John 5, 17 says this, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that is not unto death. What that's saying is that most sins won't immediately kill you. That's why I said it's a long process. But all unrighteousness is sin. Okay, here we go. Think with me just for a second. Not everything that isn't right is unrighteous. For instance, 2 plus 2 equals 5 is incorrect, but it's not sin. It's incorrect. So everything that's not right is not necessarily sin. It doesn't say everything that's right. It says all unrighteousness is sin. Let me give you another illustration. You can answer a question incorrectly, but that answer is not sinful. So what is, if all unrighteousness is sin, then what is righteousness? If I can answer that question, I can figure out what sin is. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 33. We'll just go to one verse for this to kind of illustrate it. Let the Bible define righteousness for us. Then I can figure out what sin is. All unrighteousness is sin. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The word of the Lord is right. So watch this. The word of the Lord is the declaration. This is the declaration of righteousness. Okay? The word of the Lord is right. If God says, do this or do that, if you don't do this or that, then that is what sin is. Right? Because this declares what is right. This is righteous. It doesn't matter what your family said. It doesn't matter what your friends or your pastor or what your counselor said. If God's word says, thou shalt not, if you do it, that is sin. If God says, thou shalt, and you don't do it, that not doing it is sin, because this is the declaration of righteousness. Listen closely. Sin is the failure to do what is righteous and defined by the Word of God. See, somebody said, you know, well, I don't like that church because that pastor teaches this. If he's a good pastor, he teaches what the Bible says, and if the pastor dies, the Bible doesn't change. Here's what they should be criticizing. Well, one day I'll go to that church if they'll get a pastor that won't preach the book straight. That's the way it should be said. Okay, I don't preach salvation because it's my way. I preach salvation as I find it in the Bible. It's a free gift of God. Amen? Hopefully, if I die, nothing will change because I was preaching the book. Amen? I wasn't preaching my preferences. Or that's the way, you know. No, this is God's word is pure when it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is a sinner. God's word is right when it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now think about this. Since the wages of sin is death, you had a better, more abundant life and a greater enjoyment of life when you got in your Bible and found out what you should be doing. You enjoy life the most when you're at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, right? At the right hand of the Lord. The closer I get to God, the more I enjoy life, and the more I run the show, and the more I do my own thing, the more life becomes topsy-turvy and turmoil. You enjoy life more when you get into your Bible and you find out what you shouldn't be doing and you stop it. Sin is what robs you of the intended joys of life. This is why it's so foolish to argue against the Bible. It's not the president's fault. It's not our economy's fault. Or it's not our national finances. It's not your spouse or your boss or anybody that makes you unhappy. What makes you unhappy is sin. So if I ask you this morning, according to 1 John 5, verse 14, are you righteous? Are you enjoying righteousness? Wherever you're not righteous or seeking to obey the Bible means you're courting unhappiness and death. Let me explain to you Christianity. I should be trying my best to do what God tells me in His Word. I believe it all. I don't live it all. I won't until I get there, okay? I do believe it all. I'm learning, right? I've not mastered it, and I won't until I get there. But Christianity should be me putting forth. They say there's only one thing worse than not being holy, and that's not wanting to where you don't even. That makes for a sorry Christian. But when you're trying and reading the Bible, saying, as best I can tell, God doesn't like that. As best I can tell, God wants me to. That's Christianity, right? This is all unrighteousness is sin. What else is sin? You're in 1 John chapter 5. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3. All we're looking at this morning is I want to find out how God defines sin. So I know what to tell God I'm sorry for, right? I just want to see sin in the light of the Bible. What is sin? Here we go. 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The word transgression means to cross the boundary. Now, for me to explain this verse, the law means it's in reference to the authority of the Bible as a whole. This is the law. This is God's law, right? Okay? How many times does God have to say, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet? It's in there many times. Each one of those, don't do that. Thou shalt not. To illustrate this, at our Leonardtown's the county seat. At our county seat is a courthouse. In that courthouse, there are books and books and books and books of laws that most people in here, including myself, don't know what's in those books. You don't know how many laws are down there until you're in violation of one of them, right? You might have an idea. I didn't know I had to get a permit to dig a hole in my yard. What? I'm the one doing the digging. And I got to... That's a law? Well, yeah, we're interested in water flow, and you might change the... Oh, at any rate, there's so many laws down there. You have... And if you do know a few of them, you only know a few. You probably don't even know 1%, right? There's many laws down there. Have you ever noticed whether you know the laws or not, if you violate one of them and somebody turns you in for it, you will pay the fine. You can't say, I didn't know. Try it. Well, they got some laws in some states. If, what is it? I don't know if that's here, where the trees, where they have branches that might stretch into your yard or something like that. And to cut At any rate, there's all types of permissions that have to be gotten. And even in some states, you can't even cut a tree in your own yard without permission. Because it's, I was like, I got to get permission to cut down a tree in my own yard. All I'm saying is ignorance is no excuse. Even if you don't know the laws, you'll still be prosecuted or fined if you violate one. Okay, same thing is true with the Bible. People think if I don't read the Bible, then God won't deal with me as severely because I didn't know. That's not true. Think about this. Okay, some part of my life dies whenever I sin because sin brings forth death. Always. You say, well, you're saved. In my saved Christian life, wherever I choose to let sin in, that part of my life, it will always be that. I'm thankful I'm saved. Thankful I'm on my way to heaven. But that's how come I need to be careful. You say, well, I didn't know. Wherever you let disobedience in or sin, that it can be friends, it can be entertainment, it can be child rearing, it can be marriage, it can be pick anything. Wherever sin gets in your life, that part of it dies. You lose peace. You lose joy. You lose your walk with the Lord. It may even come to the point where you'll be saying someday, I'm not even sitting in a Bible preaching church anymore because I did things my way. It can go. I'm just telling you here. Think about it this way. There are people in our town who don't read the Bible, don't go to church. They've been married for 50 years or more and they enjoy being married. Think about it. They're getting life from obeying the Bible that they don't know. They've honored their marriage, right? So they pull blessings from it. They don't even read the Bible. On the other hand, you have King James Bible only, Bible-believing Christians who go to a Bible-preaching church, and while they're in church, they ignore the preaching and daydream about the sin that their heart likes. That's the exact opposite. That's the exact opposite. This morning, God blesses your life when you obey His word, even if you don't know what you're obeying. My boss, I told you about that I welded for in college, he's a multimillionaire. He plainly told all of us, all 13 of his employees, seven on day shift, six on night shift. He said, guys, once I make my first million, he said, you can have the rest. He gave us our bonus checks. He'd give us all of that. He said, I just got to make $1 million. So he'd make his million. Then he gave away, I mean, my Christmas bonus, I've told you before, it was $4,600. I went and cashed that in one because I'd never seen that much money before. Amen. That was my Christmas bonus. Okay. I'm just saying the men, and I was the low man on the totem pole. Many of the men on my shift were getting $12,000 Christmas bonus. He gave away money. He said, guys, once I make it, you guys work hard. He said, here. He was so giving. When you give, God blesses giving, whether you know what you're doing or not. I don't know why, but every one of us witnessed to my boss as Catholic, he wouldn't get saved. But you talk about a nice giving. I've often wondered if that giving made him feel so good about himself, he felt he didn't need. I'm just saying, God blesses obedience to His word even when you don't know you're obeying His word, right? Just like God curses disobedience, just because you didn't know the Bible said that is no excuse. The law works whether you believe it or not. Sin is the transgression of the law. This is why when God says in 1 Timothy 5:6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. They're saved, but because they've chosen to live for self and pleasure, they have a dead life. There's no life coming from it. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she, all they live for is themselves. And there's no life that God can honor from that. Here we go. Watch this. Go to James 4:17. Let's look at another verse, James 4:17. What is sin? All unrighteousness is sin. Whatever God declares in His word that I'm not doing, or whatever God declares for me to not do and I do it, that is sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now watch this, James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What a verse. We could all read that, pray over it, and go home. Amen. There's a lot there. Think about this. When you witness to a lost person and you show them that they're a sinner, they always start listing the things that they haven't done. Well, I haven't killed nobody. I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't done this. Then, when you tell saved people that they're a sinner, they start to do what? They start listing all the things that they've done, right? So you've got a lost person listing all the things that they haven't done. You've got a saved person describing all the things that they have done. Here, listen closely. The Lord is asking you, is there anything you know you should be doing that you're not? Well, tarnation. Just when I thought my list was complete, God says, to him that knoweth to good and doesn't do it, what they're not doing. You want to get real specific in church? I don't know what God deals with you about. That's between the Lord. But when God tells you to start something, you don't, you told God no. When God tells you to do something and you don't, you told God no, right? To him that knows to do good, I know what's right, but I'm to him. Just to him, it's sin. That's why I think listening to the voice of the Lord and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is so important. Listen closely. Jesus said half the law was to love your neighbor as yourself. What's the first part of the law? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know anybody that does that? I know. Who do you know? Okay, if you can find a marriage where the husband loves his wife as much as he loves himself, they're doing really good. What a goal. Amen. If you can find a wife that loves her husband as much as she loves herself, they got a good thing going. It doesn't happen very often. Now, all I mentioned was marriage. Now go to more family members. Who do you love as much as you love you? That's half the law, right? Jesus said, if I could just get you to love others as much as that love affair you got going on with yourself, this world would be a wonderful place. But, okay, watch this. As much trouble as I cause me, I still love me, and I shouldn't. I'm my worst enemy, right? Somebody said, you want to give you the most trouble? Look in the mirror. And yet I still love me. Okay. Motivational speakers are so weird. They say, well, you see, what you need to do is just love yourself and believe in yourself. If there's anything that this generation doesn't ever need to hear is that. They got that down pat. Me time, you know. And it's so narcissistic. It's so existential, just living for the next pleasure. What makes me happy? We've never seen a generation. Here we go. Everyone, you know what's encouraging about this? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This morning, everybody here can grow spiritually because there's good that you know to do, but you're not doing. Anytime you want to grow in the Lord, you can. That's when you decide. And what God has touched everybody's heart about here is different. Each person, right? Aren't you glad God doesn't grow us as a hive? God grows. And you're responsible for what God shows. If you keep telling God no, it's called a seared conscience. You eventually get you. First time, it's like, oh, shit. Right? You feel bad. But don't. If you keep doing it, you eventually get callous. And God can't your heart anymore. God can't say, do this. Stop doing it. To him that knoweth to good and doeth it not, him specifically, that is sin. That is sin. So this morning we've looked at all unrighteousness as sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, whether I know it or not. Whatever I know to do that's right and I'm not doing that, that is sin. Let's look at another one. Go to Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I think you're going to enjoy how this wraps up, but right now, I hope the Lord's able to in your heart like the Lord used it in mine. Amen. When God shows me what I am, it shows me my need for, right? And one thing I hope God never leaves me. I hope I never tell God no so much God says, fine, do it your way. God says in Genesis 6, my spirit shall not always strive with. God says, I'm not always going to tell you no. I'll tell you no a couple of times, but eventually, you want to do it your way? Live your way. I'm right here when you figure out the devil's a liar. But until then, have it your way. It's America. I don't want to be left to myself. I don't want God to. I want the conviction. I want to bad. I don't want a callous to where I just go, oh, no biggie. Oh, everybody does it. God says, what about Romans chapter 14, verse 23, last verse in the chapter. Watch this. God says here, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Watch, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the context of the chapter is living for the Lord and the judgment seat of Christ and not causing other people to stumble. And God says here, whatever is not of faith is sin. What we do is supposed to be because of our faith in God's word. That's faith. So if I asked you this morning, do you trust God for your food? Most of us don't, because we're in America and our refrigerators are full, and I'm glad and I don't want you to starve. But do you trust God for your food? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, how about this? Do you thank the Lord for your food because he... Do you pray before every meal? Well, of course I do. Do you pray before every snack? He gave you that too. Do you pray before you drink water? It's his water, right? How much do we trust? How much do we live by faith? How much do you trust the Lord when you drive your vehicle? You say, oh, I always trust the Lord. Okay, but when we get in traffic or a flat tire slows us down, then we ask God, why did you let this happen to me? And the true matter of the fact is we don't drive by faith, and there's very little we do by faith. When it comes to my vehicle, I can sometimes trust, well, you know, it's a Ford. I'll trust the manufacturer. I'll even trust my maintenance on it. But do I really trust the Lord then how come I get upset when I'm slowed down? Because I wasn't trusting. I don't like inconvenience. I wasn't. And if I lose it, you lose it. I can get angry. I can get upset over stuff. And every time I do, I always think, I had my own. How much whatsoever is not of faith, that is sin. Whatever you do without trusting God for, that is sin. God says if you do what you do without faith, that's sin. Here we go. This morning, we're defining sin. What is sin? There really is a method behind the madness. So do we do everything by faith? Do we know to do something and don't? Do we ever transgress the written law of God? Do we ever do something God says isn't right? Now take your Bible and go to the middle of your Bible, Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, okay? Proverbs 21, look at verse 4, okay? And high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Is sin. You say, well, I don't plow. Most of us don't. The first part of the verse is more applicable, right? A proud look, a high look and a proud heart. So listen closely. Let me apply the verse. Ready? When I do something that is righteous, because all unrighteous sin. When I do something that is righteous, that God told me to do. When I know what I'm supposed to do and I go ahead and do it. So I'm not sinning. And when I've done it by faith and I'm trusting the Lord, as soon as I get it right once in a while, my heart tells me, you know, you're a pretty good Christian. Oh, why did I have to do that? It just blew the whole thing. I can't even do right. Because the moment I want to take credit for it, it goes down the tubes. Man, I had it. You know, you get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, it's good to see you, you know, and you talk to the Lord, and I get ready, and, you know, I kiss the sweet wife, and, you know, and I'm thanking the Lord, and I get in the car, and I pray before I start it, and, you know, I just get to the end of my road, and then I start thinking, you know, you're doing pretty good. Oh, it happened again. Pride is such a part of us. We're so proud. But God says, whenever you want credit for it, that is sin. That's sin. I heard one guy say, you know, I don't need all the glory, I just need a little bit. He was so funny. He goes, I just asked the Lord, Lord, can I have just a little bit of that glory? But you read 1 Corinthians 2. It says that no flesh should glory before. How come God uses weak things to confound them? So he gets the glory. And all glory is, right? But we can get so selfish, so proud, and so self-centered. A high look, proud heart is sin. It really makes Romans chapter 7 real. And we won't read it this morning. But when God used the Apostle Paul to say, I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing. But then you got that Hindu teaching, you know, that's all through society. No, there's good in everybody. Everybody. Do you not know we're cursed sinners? I like how one guy put it. You know, since I got saved, it's like half of me loves the Lord and the other half of me hates Jesus. That's a good way to put it. I got a fight going on in me. If you're saved, you got a fight. You got a struggle and you determine who wins, right? But in me, in my flesh, there dwelleth. And the longer I live, the more wicked I find, the less there is no. It really makes Romans 7 come alive. You're in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 24. This is the last verse we'll look at this morning. Proverbs chapter 24. It's one thing if you say, what's sin to you? Well, you know, what I don't like is this, and what I don't like, and I just can't stand this. But what happens if you let God's word, you get a whole new perspective. It really brings, it puts the jelly on the bottom shelf so everybody can get to it and everybody finds out all, every one of us. Watch this, Proverbs 24, verse 9, ready? The thought of foolishness is sin. Just thinking, what you say, what's foolishness? Well, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. God is not in all of his thoughts, Psalm 10, 4. Foolishness would be that which is without God, you could say. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4 says, all the weapons of our warfare, we're supposed to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against Christ. Anything in my mind that fights God, I'm supposed to take hold of it and cast it down. My thoughts, I'm supposed to control. Philippians 4, 8. whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Control your mind, because the thought of foolishness is sin. Controlling your mind. You have to learn. There should be things you say, I am not going to allow myself to think that way. I will not think that way. You say, why? Because the thought of foolishness is sin. My dad used to tell me, I don't know how many times, don't ask me how many times I heard this, but son, what were you thinking? Sometimes it go this far. I'm amazed that you could even think that. I would be like, well, what were you thinking? How could you be so stupid? Your dad said that? Yeah, my dad did. He did other things too. Kicked me across the room. Listen closely. This morning, whatever I don't do that's right is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. When I know to do something that's right and I don't, that is sin. When I transgress the written laws of God, that is sin. When I don't do it by faith and whenever I want credit for it, that is sin. You say, let's sum up the whole truth this way. I need to get to Jesus because my sin's a lot greater than I. You know what? Before the Bible study, I really thought I was doing pretty good. You know, I'm not as bad as everybody else. And the more you study your Bible, the more you learn. God says, do you see what you are? See how badly. And you actually thought you could without me. You entered. I really need every day. I'm a lot worse. You ever hear somebody say, oh, I'm not that bad? I'd love to reply someday. I don't because I'm a pastor. But I'd love to reply, oh, yeah, you're a lot worse. Yeah, I'd like to say this. You don't know the half of it. You ever heard somebody gripe about the preacher? Man, that was and this and this and this. I'd like to say, hey, give me the list. I'll complete it. You don't know all that's wrong with me. I'm sure. Here, I'll finish. You ever seen a roll of toilet paper? If I summed it up this morning, everybody's a sinner and everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the only one who can save. Amen. This morning, how about this? I need to praise the Lord because he forgave me of a lot more sin than I thought. Maybe my salvation is a lot greater. Anytime I look at sin in the Bible, what does God say? Not what do I think. What does God say is sin? I hope that helps you with the Lord tonight. I'll preach it part two, and there'll be another solution tonight, and I want it to help you like it's helped me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, what a wonderful.